Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are. Christmas is almost upon us, and there's so many preparations still to be made. There's so much still to do, and yet it is truly the most wonderful time of the year. More important, however, than the final shopping, the wrapping of presents, the mailing of packages, the cleaning of the house for guests, the Christmas cooking and the baking, is that last bit of spiritual preparation that takes place on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Though we are just a few days away from Christmas, we are still in Advent, a time to make ready the way of the Lord. In our busy and crowded lives, this is especially important, more important than ever, for every heart to prepare room for Him. Advent, then, is a time of repentant reflection, where we acknowledge our sins and thus our need for the Christ child to be born among us again this year. Now, every year, there are two people in the biblical narrative that have proved very helpful to me in my own spiritual preparation for Christmas. They are, both in this text today, John the Baptist and Mary, the mother of our Lord. Their similar responses to the news of our Savior's upcoming birth have helped me to focus on the true importance of Christmas. Let me give you just one quote from each that I think will prove helpful. John the Baptist would say this: Christ must increase while I must decrease. Now let me say that again. Christ must increase, I must decrease. Mary will say something very close in meaning to this in our gospel reading for today when she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his servant." Mary and John help me remember just how small and insignificant I am. And conversely, how great Christ is. I must decrease. Never were any truer words spoken. Yet, I, like you, have been so influenced by this narcissistic culture that we barely understand these words, "I must decrease." But here's what they mean. When I wake up on any given morning, my sinful flesh tries to convince me that the entire world revolves around me. My natural instinct is to prioritize all of my life, all of my day, around me, myself, and I. You can see this by the thoughts I have. How do I feel today? Am I sad? What would make me happy? Perhaps I need to start thinking more about myself. I thought about this, and if an alien from another planet were somehow to connect with my thoughts and observe my narcissistic ways, he might assume that I am some sort of deity, some sort of god, or at least think that I am, because of the importance that I seem to place upon myself. Because, like you, I can easily give off the impression that the entire universe centers around me. Sin causes me to elevate my self-importance, while God calls me to repentance with these words saying, "No, Mark, you must decrease." The truth is, we are so lowly and insignificant in the scheme of things that we don't even show up as a blip on the radar of human history. And even if we were, at least a few of us, to make our mark on history, we would still be pretty puny and inconsequential when compared to the Lord and giver of life. But as sinners, we are especially pathetic because we place so much importance on ourselves that is neither earned nor deserved. Just go onto Facebook sometime and see how much people like to overinflate the significance of their lives. The truth is, whether we're on Facebook or not, we are all self-centered, self-important, and self-absorbed. We rarely consider the needs of others ahead of our own, and to make matters worse, we don't see it in ourselves. And urged on by our egocentric culture, which teaches that narcissism is the new normal, we think there's nothing wrong with this obsession that we have with ourselves. The truth is that I am not as special or as important as I think I am. The reality is I am lowly and undeserving. Repentance occurs then as I begin to think more of God in Christ and less of myself. I begin to see my vast imperfections as I gaze upon the perfection found and required in God's law. It is from God's commandments that I learn there is nothing to justify these feelings I have of self-importance. The law reveals how I fail God and my neighbor daily in so many ways, and just how far I fall short of what God had in mind for me when he created me. But repentance comes as I realize that God is not the problem. I am. My problem is that whenever I exalt myself, I diminish Christ. And whenever I diminish Christ, I remain unprepared to receive the joyous news of our dear Savior's birth. For to delight in myself prevents me from delighting as Mary did in her great God and Savior. And so as often as I turn inward, as I focus upon myself, I find nothing but sin and death within me. The true and joyous celebration of Christ and of Christmas requires my not seeking salvation from within myself, but receiving the Savior that God has sent that comes down to me from heaven. And so the inward I must decrease so that the birth of Christ can increase and gain my full attention. It is only the humbled me of Advent that can rejoice with Mary in God my Savior at Christmas. For my flesh, well, it would have me believe that I am godlike and entitled to sit on his throne, while the Spirit in his word informs me that apart from Christ, why, I am not even worthy to be in his kingdom. For God knows that in order for Christ to increase in importance in my Christmas and in my life, that I must first decrease in my estimation of myself. And we call this, my friends, repentance. Since it's so easy to think of ourselves as God, I think, well, if I were God, sitting in heaven, looking down and observing those whom I had created, trying to usurp my throne, I'd say there is no way I'm saving these people. They don't deserve it. Maybe if they straighten out, then I'll show some compassion. But thanks be to God, I am not God. And God is in no way like me. For while you and I were still sinners, as narcissistic and selfish as anyone can be, God sent his Son into this world so that he might later bleed and die to save us from our own egotistical selves. While sinners were still exalting themselves on earth, the God of heaven emptied himself and was born in lowliness and in great humility. It's really amazing when you stop to consider how truly one-sided our relationship with God is, the relationship between God and man. For you and I have nothing to offer God. We bring nothing to that relationship. There is nothing admirable or adorable about us that should make God want to save us. And yet the gospel says that purely out of God's undeserved love and his inexplicable mercy, God conceived of a plan to save us that would involve his own conception within the womb of a humble young virgin named Mary. God undoes our sin by doing the very opposite of what any of us would have thought to do. And it makes sense when you think about it, because when you stop to consider, sin at its very core is opposition to God. It was mankind's desire to sin that turned him against God, making him want to do the very opposite of what our righteous God requires of us. And so God responded to man's defiant arrogance in a way that sinners would never have expected. And this is what inspires Mary's song, the Magnificat. God's great salvation and strength came to earth in the form of meekness out of concern for our own weakness. While you and I were busy enlarging ourselves and overinflating our importance and our egos, God was making himself very small. A tiny human embryo attached to the lining of the uterine wall. A living Savior who, after spending 9 months of life in the womb, would be born humbly of a virgin in a cattle shed on that first Christmas. While you and I were selfishly considering our own personal needs without any thought for himself, God entered our world as a servant to do all that was necessary to redeem the world. And even then, the world could find no room for this child that would be born to Mary. And yet, this is the miracle of the gospel, that even as the world was rejecting God's Christ, simultaneously God was in that Christ, reconciling the very same world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. You see, God ignores those who feel entitled to his love, choosing to save instead the most undeserving of his love. This is what caused Mary to break into song. Mary knew that although she was nothing, that God had blessed her with everything through this son from heaven that was about to be born to her. God had chosen by his grace to lift her from her lowly state and give her the honor of being mother to the Son of God. This also is what made John the Baptist jump for joy while he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, as Mary announces that she is carrying the Christ child. This reveals a God who cares about the lowly ones, the prenatal ones. For the Lord, for to the Lord a person is a person no matter how small. John's leap at the proclamation that Christ was to be born of Mary is proof of an unborn child's personhood, at least for all who believe in the divine inspiration of Scripture. It also reveals the efficacy or power of the Word, for it is God's Word that creates faith. For when Mary announced that the Word made flesh was living within her, the same Word from God caused John's unborn infant body to leap for joy. And this same Christ-exalting Word is what is going to bring joy and faith again to our hearts this Christmas. Our gospel reading reveals a truly spectacular scene where a baby in his third trimester in the womb of his mother is rejoicing to be in the presence of a baby in his first trimester who is the Lord. God is an awesome God, for he exalts the lowly. Like John, like Mary, like you and like me. Our souls rejoice in Christ, who is our great God and Savior. And it is by the example of these saints, John and Mary, who diminish themselves and exalt in Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit teaches us how to prepare our hearts to receive the good news once again this year of our dear Savior's birth. We learn from John and from Mary to magnify the Lord, that is, to make God bigger and more important in our lives. And so, like Mary, we praise this God who became lowly in order to humble the proud and to lift up and exalt the lowly. The Son of God left his rightful throne in heaven. This God who created all things emptied himself for those who were full of themselves. Christ lowered himself, he says, so that he could later be lifted up on the cross, as the hymn says, in order to raise the sons of earth, in order to give them second birth. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes our understanding give you and your hearts a joyous celebration of the Christ child. Amen.